You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Welcome into First Take. And huge congrats to the world champion Los Angeles Rams winning it in their home stadium. What a game. Couldn't be happier for Matthew Stafford. Stephen A. Smith, Dan Orlovsky, Michael Irvin, I'm Molly Karen. But we have a few things to deal with, first of all.
Yes.
Michael, what did I text you? Over under three patterns for Super Bowl Monday. Because
right.
I turned you on Sunday, I was legitimately dizzy with that white suit.
I couldn't believe what Holly was wearing.
He had black and white with
No. It was brown. It was brown and white.
Oh, it was brown and white?
It was brown and white. It was brown and white.
Michael,
but I don't blame you for making that mistake. It was blonde. I had to tweet about it. I tweeted him about it during the show. I said, Lord, look at how ridiculous that outfit was.
That was a lot. But three patterns, that's what I assume for Super Bowl Monday.
I had a solid suit on, Molly, but when you text me, because you know you're my girl, I want to make you right, and I wanted to make sure you win the bet, so I went and changed just for you.
Now, you know what he said, Dan Orlovsky? You know what he said?
What?
He came on my show, Stephen A's World, months ago, and he talked about being casket clean. Yeah. That's what he said. Yesterday.
What does that mean?
Yes, I don't know what the hell. A casket clean.
Know.
You know what I'm saying? You're just laying in the casket. Classic. Now, yesterday, he's going to go on national television, and he's going to say this. This is what he said.
What?
He said, I'm presidential clean, talking about me.
Yeah.
He
but you
said,
are.
But he's brother clean. He's
right,
brother
right.
clean.
Really, that means up? I'm throwing in the patterns. What you up? Are
yeah,
presidential
I know.
Clean.
The flavor.
But
we
you
get
are
it.
Absolutely clean.
And then 99% of the brothers wouldn't be caught dead.
We
got to
get to this. We got to get to the sound really quick. But you need to settle down. You are a lot on getting up.
I am not settling down.
A little aggressive. So
I'm the wrong person to say that to
today. Let's go to it right now.
You're on the top of the list.
There we go.
We have some sound from Matthew Stafford. I want to play that for you guys right now, and then we're going to get right into this. What was going through your mind at the end of that game?
You know, that last drive was a special drive, one I'll never forget. Just so many great plays by so many great players, and just so happy to get it done, and I don't know, I'm speechless. But I love playing this game. I love playing this game for the competition, for the relationships, you know, for the hard times, you know, for the good times, all of it. This game can teach us so much as people. I get to go to work with people from all walks of life, come together and go for one goal. And for 12 years, that goal wasn't reached. It tore me up inside, but I knew I could keep playing and try to find a way. And, you know, the fact that we reached that goal today is so special.
Okay. So first of all, let me say this to you, Dan Orlovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford seems like an exceptional guy.
Yeah.
He has a beautiful family, his wife, his story, all of that. He deserves this, what he did in Detroit, the loyalty, all of it. And he had a great game. But, Dan, you on Get Up, you were a little out of control with this is the best performance ever, and you got a little carried away with it.
No. All I said was I think it's one of the most clutch, if not the most clutch postseason stretches ever, performance-wise by a quarterback. Tampa Bay, San Francisco. Molly, literally, they've won three straight postseason games by 3 points. All three contained game-winning drives by Matthew Stafford. Never been done. I mean, it's not hyperbolic. It is a fact. The last quarterback to do it in a conference championship and a Super Bowl was your boy, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
And you say that it locked up the Hall of Fame. So I'm just only using that as evidence to support that Matthew Stafford, because of yesterday, has one of the greatest clutch postseason runs ever, is a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion. And this shirt that I'm wearing, I wore yesterday to the game, and it smells like beer, but I'm wearing it again today on TV.
All right.
And I know somebody said that they would trust a different quarterback in that game over Matthew Stafford
was
and
me.
Was wrong.
That was me.
I mean,
that was me.
Joe Burrow might have been the better quarterback last night.
You're
they get
out
in
of
here.
Your mind.
Okay.
First of all, it's a couple of things. Let's tell the American people the truth, Dan Orlovsky. First of all, he's absolutely right about the playoff run Matthew Stafford had. He's absolutely right about the fact that this performance has solidified the fact that Matthew Stafford is a future Hall of Famer. There is no denying it.
Okay.
You know, I don't like how Dan tries to act like everybody didn't notice that Matthew Stafford had mad skills and that he was contaminated by being a Detroit Lion. Okay, one of the worst franchises in the history of football. Okay, which it continues to prove it every chance they get. Okay. Matthew Stafford, the great Matthew Stafford, with a multitude of game-winning drives on his resume before he ever arrived in Los Angeles, had a record of 74-90 as a quarterback for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
So think about that. Game-winning drives. Without them, it would have been even worse. So we know how his skill set speaks to the fact that he was just contaminated by being a part of a
– You always got to take shots at Detroit.
Of a weak French. No. I'm not taking shots at anybody. I speak facts. The Detroit Lions are a horrible organization. Now, I hope they get better because I love the city of Detroit. I love its fan base. You know what I'm saying? I love it when I get – I can't wait to get back there and to check out downtown and the whole bit. But it damn sure ain't gonna be to see the to see the Detroit Lions and let me throw the Pistons in there too. I mean, damn, they're horrible as well. Even though I believe in my man Troy Weaver and his vision, and I think they'll go in the right direction. But when it comes to Matthew Stafford specifically, we needed to see what we saw yesterday, and I believe, and we'll get into Odell Beckham Jr. later. I believe if Odell Beckham Jr. hadn't gotten hurt, this wouldn't have even been close. We wouldn't have had an opportunity to see late game heroics by Matthew Stafford. But what, and I tweeted about this before the game, all I wanted, because I got no chips in this game. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, okay? But all I wanted to see, and I was begging to see this, I wanted Matthew Stafford to get a lead and hand the ball to Joe Burrow against Aaron Donald and Von Miller. All the things that we have been saying, myself included, about
that.
Joe Burrow, even with the suspect offensive line, I said, that's what I wanted, and that's what we got. It came down to the wire, and it was like, Joe Burrow, what you got against these boys? And we found out, as special as he is and as special as he is going to be, Aaron Donald is a different monster.
Yeah.
And, boy, was he special. Floor is yours, playmaker.
And he rose up in the most crucial moments and made those plays. It was a phenomenal. Dan, I know you were out here. Stephen A., I wish you would have come out here. This Super Bowl was made for you.
Yeah.
This is Hollywood. Yeah. It was big time. Everywhere you went, there were superstars. And everybody said, where's Stephen A.? Where's the big superstar Stephen A.? Everybody was looking for you. I said, I got to spank him. From long distance. I'm going to just have to spank him from long distance. Now, let me get to Matthew Stafford, because, you know, let me get to Matthew Stafford. Let me tell you something, because we're talking about what did he gain with his legacy. And it's and we were talking about the Hall of Fame. And we got a lot of guys that went in the Hall this week. How do you get in the Hall of Fame? You either have to have those numbers, or you have to have what we call memorable moments made in time that we can attach ourselves to. Kurt Warner, the last Rams quarterback, led the greatest show on turf. You know, and this for Matthew Stafford, in the way it went about, is a memorable moment here. The Super Bowl hasn't been in L.A. since I caught a couple of touchdowns in that thing. And I'm an old man that can barely walk, let alone talking about run. And now they have two teams there. They got the most beautiful stadium in the world, and everybody came out for that game. Matthew Stafford had what we call the drive, at least for him. That was an incredible, incredible drive. Late in the game, Dan, he didn't need a field goal. They needed a touchdown. And he took that drive all the way and got that touchdown. Matthew Stafford solidified when he got that gold ring that, yes, he will be getting a gold jacket. He already had the number.
Hold up 1 second. I get that you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I want to go back to what Dan said, and I hope I characterize this correctly, that was one of the most clutch postseasons ever. Is that what you said?
Absolutely, by a quarterback. 100%.
Is that accurate, playmaker?
Well, let me tell you what Dan is talking about, too.
Well, make it quick, because your voice is struggling.
One of the most difficult things in the world to do. Matthew Stafford moved at 0. He was 0-3. He moved at 0 to the other column to go 4-0 and win this Super Bowl. That was a very clutch performance by him. It would have helped if he had gone through Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but he didn't go through those two guys. Well, but, I'm with Dan. It was a clutch performance.
Well, there's a couple of other things to take into consideration. generation. And before I say that, let me say this. First of all, monitor that voice because you was in Super Bowl hype mode. And
yes,
your
voice is
practically gone.
What secondly, a scene.
Secondly, y'all know how big I am. I try to come through. I try to come through for the company. Let me tell you what's not going to happen in the future reference. The company, at least in the near future, don't even come to me about the need for me to make any appearances. Because if you can't have me at the Super Bowl, you understand what I'm saying? And I have to, clearly you don't need me.
Like I don't even want to hear it. Since it was in L.A.?
Let me tell you something. If you didn't need the Super Bowl.
Once in a lifetime.
It was one of the best lifetime days of my life.
Once in a lifetime in L.A., they got me here. I don't want to hear that I'm needed anywhere. I don't want to hear it, okay? If I can't be in L.A. for the Super Bowl,
so
you don't need
salty.
Me anywhere. I'm so salty. Let me tell you something right now. I love my bosses. I don't want to speak to anybody. I don't know if I'm going to speak to anybody until the season's over.
Incredible.
And let me tell you something. Dan Orlovsky was teasing me, came out with a skit to tease me. Michael Irvin was texting me. Ryan Clark, Swag, everybody was teasing me. Louis Riddick teased me. I mean, that's how bad it was. I don't even want to talk to the boss. I don't even want to talk to the bosses. I really don't. I just want to come to work, and I want to go home. Because
you just want the direct deposit.
That's exactly true. Just the direct deposit. The check keeps coming, and I'll do my job. But I don't want to talk to nobody. To not have me in L.A. for the Super Bowl, I'm so appalled. I don't even want to put it into words. All right. Having said all of that, let's get back to Matthew Stafford real quick.
I want to because I still have conversations.
There is no running game whatsoever.
1.9 yards.
Cam Akers, right. 13 right. rushes, 21 yards. Right. I don't even know why the hell. Sean McVay right. called this
lowest,
number 13
lowest
time.
Amount okay. a winning Super Bowl team has run forever.
Exactly. Okay. Right. And Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. goes down.
Yep.
And on top of it all, Robert Woods has been down.
No Higbee.
And Skowronek, is that his name? How you pronounce his
Skowronek.
Name? Skowronek. Right? Skowronek. Right. Panic mode. I mean, that interception was not on Matthew Stafford.
I got it.
It hit him in the hands. All right. He should have caught that pass. There should have never been an interception. By the way, the touchdown by T. Higgins. Clear offensive pass interference. Mug Jalen Ramsey. So you can look at everything. In the end, though, Matthew Stafford had to show up and deliver a touchdown in that game. I don't like how he missed Van Jefferson the two plays before. You got to make that throw now.
Right. Thank he goodness instructed he made up him for to it. Go deep on. Dan and I talked about that a couple weeks ago.
I'm talking about the touchdown when he go through. I'm talking about the last play when he threw it, when he scrambled and he overthrew him. He was wide open in the back.
Okay, I thought you were talking about
on the right side.
But
in the end, the man Matthew Stafford showed up. I have nothing to say, nothing but praise for him in the end. He showed up. He did. He validated everything you said about him, Dan Orlovsky, and he deserves credit where credit is due.
But why were you one of the many people when asked the question, who did you trust more? Everyone kept saying Joe Burrow.
Well, that's, you know, hold on, time. Is that a rhetorical question or you want me to answer it?
That's a literal question.
I gave you the answer, but I'll repeat it because evidently you're getting it, you're engaging in amnesia all of a sudden. You remember everything. Now you got amnesia.
I didn't sleep last night. I was on a plane.
All right. What I said to you
back from LA in the Super Bowl.
What I said to you directly last week, stop rubbing it in. What I said to you directly last week was, like you said, when you were his backup. You asked him, why does he make throws? He said, because I can and you can't.
Right.
He's a guy that will take risk. He's a gunslinger. Right. And so my point was, he's going to take chances. I didn't say they were going to lose the game. I still had them winning 35-31. But I said, Matthew Stafford is going to take chances in this game, and he's going to make more mistakes than Joe Burrow because he believes in himself, and he's going to take those risks.
And did he make more mistakes?
That's what it is. He did, but it doesn't matter.
He had two picks,
doesn't
right?
matter.
The first interception.
Joe didn't have any.
First interception.
That. He underthrew that.
But he's given Van Jefferson a chance to go make a play.
Not really.
Yes, he is.
He underthrew it. He underthrew it, Dan.
No,
he underthrew it.
It's
throw it to the back left corner of the end zone. He didn't go far enough, Dan.
All right, so.
And he's not perfect.
Playmaker, you know this. Third and 14. I can't kick a field goal. I'm going to have to punt if I don't get it. If I throw to the back corner where it's my guy or only, that's not the best opportunity to make a play. Go make a catch, get a PI. If it's intercepted, it's essentially a punt. He's done that four or five times this year. I often say that. The Skowronek interception is it. I actually think that he was phenomenal when it came to his decision making and super smart. The ball wasn't put in like a careless or reckless state once. Now, I think Joe played incredible and given the the way his offensive line protected him. But
and there was a bad drop on the Bengals. I can't think of who it was, but it was a critical
Tyler
drop.
Boyd on third down. Yes, his first drop of the season. Yeah. He's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, his first drop of the
but,
season.
No, Stafford was here's the thing. I was up in the press box yesterday. Everyone was nervous with all his family and friends. His wife, Kelly, who's amazing. 6 minutes to go, I walked up to her. I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, why would it happen? Why would it happen any other way than this? He is going to go lead this game-winning touchdown, and it's one drive for the Hall of Fame. And just because everyone of us has seen it so much, I'm glad that America got to see it. That's my thing. I'm glad America got to see it in these playoffs.
And it was a drive. You're right about that, Dan. 15 plays, the longest 15. Ever in Super Bowl history.
One of the best no-lookers ever.
And his wife did say in an interview in pregame that she doesn't mind when he's down because she knows that he's going to come back and he can handle those situations.
Better.
So she doesn't get stressed out. Absolutely. All right, let's keep it going. So Matthew Stafford, as we're talking about Cooper Kupp all day.
He was stressed when Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt.
Yeah, of course. Kupp caught the game-winning one-yard touchdown and finished with 8 catches for 92 yards en route to earning the game's most valuable player award. He's the 8th wide receiver to win Super Bowl MVP in the first since the New England Patriots' Julian Edelman. So Kupp had an incredible regular and postseason. In 21 games, I want you guys to hear these numbers. 178 catches, 2,400 yards and change, 22 TDs, NFL regular season receiving triple crown, unanimous all-pro, most catches in a single postseason, 33, and obviously NFL Offensive Player of the Year and Super Bowl MVP. But I'll start with you here, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. Is also really special as well. I wish they could have been co-MVPs. Do you agree with Kupp being named Super Bowl MVP?
No, I do not. And I love Cooper Kupp. I think that, you know, right now there's a discussion that we'll have later as to whether or not he's the best wide receiver in all of football, and that's legitimate considering his numbers, his level of production. But let's also remember that Matthew Stafford deserves a lot of credit because Cooper Kupp was a good receiver, and then Matthew Stafford arrived, and then all of a sudden we recognize how great he is. So having a quarterback does help because Matthew Stafford is not Jared Goff. Having said all of that, Aaron Donald is something special.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have elevated to a point where the only name that you could possibly put above Aaron Donald is Lawrence Taylor. And even that is debatable.
Yeah,
this man right now, and what he does on a football field, consistently doubled and triple teamed. Once Cincinnati scored that touchdown, Aaron Donald took the hell over. 4 quarterback pressures, 2 sacks. This dude was all over the place. 4 tackles. I mean, he was a man amongst boys. And you know that he's the number one individual opposing offenses have to worry about and key on when they talk about being efficient and effective in their own right. And you still couldn't stop this man. This man was something special. And that third down stop of Mixon running the football only needed 1 yard, had one arm on his defender, on his defender, and then snatched him with one arm and prevented him from getting the 1 yard. And then after that, the sack. How about the sack when Cincinnati was in a position to get a field goal, all right, to go ahead even more, and you had to stop him, and he got the sack as well. This man is something special. And to do what he has done, he's a 3-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. We know what a monster he is. But to know that the focus is on you, to be doubled and triple teamed, to sit up there and to answer the call when you needed it most, and then to end the game. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That was a sack. You could give it to Joe Burrow for throwing the ball away. That's a damn sack, okay? When you needed it to stop, because this kid McPherson going to hit a field goal from anywhere. They get another first down. They convert, all right? They go down another 15 yards or so. This brother go hit the field goal because he was perfect in the postseason. He was something special, which is why, by the way, I had no problem as an aside, him stepping to the side, stepping out. He's a damn kicker for crying out loud. He need to be in the locker room playing with the offense and the defense. The fact that he was on the sidelines for the halftime show. I have no problem with McPherson doing that at all. In the end, Aaron Donald is something special. And considering the pressure that was on him, considering the odds that were stacked against him, the way that he performed in the biggest moment solidified his greatness. To me, he should have been the MVP of this game. That's just the way I see it, bro.
And Stephen A., he is incredible. And one thing, when you talk about LT, I mean, this dude do it from the inside. You know, LT was stationed outside. He get around. It's amazing what he does. But I still say they got it right. And I know the MVP is for that game. But when I look even at this whole postseason, and then you include the season, Molly just told you the kind of numbers Cooper Kupp put up. It's incredible, incredible numbers. He put up over 2,425 yards. Those are incredible numbers. Then he did a little bit of this right here. We did some Deebo. See, I started stinging Deebo when he was running the ball. The only thing he did was miss on the pass. But the key factor was that drive. That drive is going to be remembered, talked about, rehashed, relived. He was 4 for 4 on that drive. Yeah. Matthew Stafford, when tossing him the ball, that play right there, that's an incredible play. That's a play for the game with all of that pain sitting around you, and Cooper Kupp manned up and went in there and made the play. Matthew Stafford was 146 passer rating, throwing the cup, a 50 passer rating without anybody else. I can say they had a possible chance of winning this football game without Aaron Donald on the field. I know he made a few plays, and he did, and it's hard to talk about it as in a negative way. But there's a possibility they could have. No way they win this football game without Cooper Kupp, without the production that Cooper Kupp has produced. That's just the bottom line. They got this right, and it's right for the whole playoffs that he ended with the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I would have given the MVP trophy to Matthew Stafford. I'm not pounding the table that it shouldn't have been Aaron Donald and or Cooper Kupp. I think all three of those guys are deserving. You just labeled that four or right off the 4 for 4 in the last drive, Brian. Playmaker, dude, in the fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford in the playoffs to Cooper Kupp is 12 for 12. I mean, they obviously have a unique.
That's incredible.
It's 12 for 12 for nine first downs. I mean, it's those two guys. But I looked at a game. So the Cincinnati Bengals defense has given up more than 23 points twice since October. Matthew Stafford had to do that yesterday without Odell Beckham, without Tyler Higbee, without Robert Woods. We're talking three out of his top four guys did not play in that game, at least the great majority of that game, with Odell going out early, and still had to go and score 23 points to win the football game. Mm-hmm. So I go, yeah, Matthew Stafford absolutely could have been MVP. I'm not throwing a pound the table that it should have been Cooper Kupp. I will say, with the Aaron Donald conversation, RC, Ryan Clark texted us, the play where he scrambles, Joe Burrow scrambles, and he shoves him out of bounds, and they mush him in the face.
It's changed right there.
RC texted us, he's like, they just woke up the bear. This is a question for you and Playmaker, because you're a little bit wiser than me. I think he's the best defensive player that I've seen in my life. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the top 10 players I've ever seen in my life. This play right here. This is the play where all of a sudden he decided, yep, that mush in the face. Mm-hmm. Is he why is he not the best defensive player ever? Like, why is it still Lawrence Taylor?
Well, I would tell you, well, first of all, in your Matthew Stafford point, you want to give him your manicure and a pedicure too. You want to give him everything, because you've been celebrating it for weeks even before he deserved it. I mean, you were talking about
here's
I mean,
it's Valentine's Day,
you're gonna send
him
some flowers. What are you gonna do next for Matthew Stafford? I'm just saying.
I was right.
Okay, again. I'm just saying. I mean, nobody's saying you're wrong.
So is it about your boy Matthew, or is it about your ego?
No, when you're in this business, you root for your team.
I'm just saying.
Good Lord have mercy. You offered. The wife and him are no doubt going out to dinner. Something you're going to pay for the dinner, too? I mean, what's next with you with this guy? But that's number one. Number two, in all seriousness, I will tell you this. Who's the greatest coach in the game today?
Bill Belichick.
Do you understand that with Bill Belichick, you can't even approach him about somebody
Taylor.
Being better than Ron Lawrence Taylor? I mean, that resonates with me.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen, like, Mike can speak to it better than me in terms of Lawrence Taylor coming at you from the outside. We know what he did to poor Joe Theismann's leg. And I love Joe Theismann when he was the quarterback for Washington before his career ended off of that hit. And you just see the menacing impact that Lawrence Taylor had. Like, you got guys that respect the hell out of Aaron Donald, know that he's the best in the game, knows what he brings to the table. He requires double and triple teaming. You had people going up against Lawrence Taylor scared for their life. Yeah. You understand? I mean, they were scared to death. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, again, football players can answer the question from a nuanced perspective better than me. But what I say to you is what I saw, and then you listen to a guy like Bill Belichick. Belichick rarely, you know, he doesn't have much to say, right, or he'll answer a question here and there or won't or whatever. But when you bring up somebody being better than Lawrence Taylor, Bill Belichick stands up, sticks his chest out, and says, stop.
That's where my mind went.
He's told everybody. He's told everybody. He said, stop.
Let's get him on the show.
Don't even. He said, stop. Don't even ask that question. Stop it. That's what he said. And this is the greatest coach in the game, in the modern era, who's got six titles spanning 20 years.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And obviously had two rings with Lawrence Taylor. And he won't even allow the discussion to take place. So my response to you is, don't ask me.
Yeah.
Ask Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Michael.
Well, I would ask Bill this. I would ask Bill. I have something. Let me tell you what Aaron Donald is, and when I see him, what I see. I see if Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor had a baby, it would be named Aaron Donald. That's exactly what I see. He has that strength inside, man. Hey, Lawrence Taylor, bad boy now. But Lawrence Taylor couldn't put men like that on skates. That's what Reggie White.
I've seen him do that. That's not true. I've seen him do that.
Not inside like that. You get him going outside, and then he takes leverage and get them going back. When you on the inside, that's beef on beef. That's right here, baby. We ain't got time to gain leverage. We got 2 seconds. Bam. Two right here. That's beef on beef.
Hold on. I'm not debating that. You would know better than me in terms of what he could do on the inside compared to Aaron Donald. I understand that. I was just addressing a point that you said, putting big men on skates, putting them on with.
I've never seen anybody physically dominate Aaron Donald.
Lawrence Taylor shove aside men twice his size. Just shove them aside. Ask Bill Belichick. I've seen him do it.
I'm too young to really, like, have watched Lawrence Taylor play like
you
that.
You need to go back and watch the tape. You watch the tape of everything else. How you didn't see that? How you didn't see that? You watch tape of everything.
I got too many other plays to watch, Stephen A.
So do the rest of us. That's no excuse. You understand?
Don't worry.
There's plenty of time. This subject's not going away.
Do you think Lawrence Taylor was more physically dominant than Aaron Donald?
I'm not trying to imply that. No, I'm not saying that.
So you don't think he was?
I'm simply saying, I don't know, Dan. I said ask Bill Belichick. I'm telling you.
He's asking the aficionados. But
you watch the tape for everything else. And you're going to sit up there and tell. You're the guy who wants an opinion to take on everything.
Excuse me.
But I'm humble enough. God, to recognize that if I
don't know. Let me know when I can transition here.
I don't know. But you don't come on national TV, you of all people, and say you didn't see the tape. You see everything. You saw Michael Irvin at his barbershop. You watch everything.
All right, let me get back to Kupp.
Go ahead.
Because I know you said Matthew Stafford helped put him on the map, but if you play fantasy football, you've known about Cooper Kupp for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know I sound like a nerd,
but it's the truth.
Because that man puts up numbers. Tell him you cheat.
Yes.
Don't bring up fantasy football and don't say you don't cheat.
Runneth over.
Any good.
She cheats.
Fantasy football?
She cheats.
I'm good at everything I do. You know this. Okay. Michael, but I want to ask you, the Hall of Fame receiver, is Kupp the best receiver in the NFL right now?
Man, listen, what we're doing here is trying to it's almost impossible to do, to talk about who's the better, who's best, because all of these guys are great, incredible at what they do. But if I'm going to have to pick one guy, I'm going to take Devontae Adams because of the pureness of the position that I think he could play. You know, I'm an old-fashioned guy, and I absolutely respect Cooper Kupp and everything he does. I've even said I couldn't do the things that he does. But outside, you hit me one chance, one wide receiver, I'm taking Devontae Adams. And if I can get his quarterback with him, then there's absolutely nothing you can do to beat me at any time.
Let me tell you something, man. I felt the same way you did until I watched Cooper Kupp in these playoffs. I saw a brother that caught 145 catches for over 1,900 yards receiving. Everybody and their grandmother knew that when the time arrives, that's where Matthew Stafford is going.
Yeah.
And you still couldn't stop him.
Right.
Now, it ain't Devontae Adams' fault, but I've seen Green Bay stopped. I saw him stop this year against San Francisco. I saw him neutralize last year against Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. It is 2022. Now, Devontae Adams wasn't there in 2010 when they won the Super Bowl, but that's also the last time they've been there. I watched Cooper Kupp be a good receiver with Jared Goff. I watched him elevate to a level of greatness that we didn't anticipate once Matthew Stafford arrived in year one. I'm watching route running. I'm watching crossing patterns. I'm watching him score outside the numbers. I'm watching him score in between the numbers. And this is the thing about him, and this is what I'm going to say. Devontae Adams is spectacular, 1 and 1A, because he can make any catch. He's open when he's not open. He'll go up and get it. You know, his athleticism, his route running, all of those things considered, nothing can be dismissed. But here's what resonates with me about Cooper Kupp. I can't tell you, Dan Orlovsky and Playmaker, how many times I've looked at this brother and said, how the hell is he that open? How the hell is he that open? What is he doing that has him open? Everybody knows the ball is coming to him. And somehow, somewhere, if there's a seam, if there's a gap, if there's an angle, he gets it all the time. Right now.
You answered your own question.
Right now.
You've already answered your own question.
Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in football.
But you've answered your own question when you're asking why is he so wide open, and then you start talking about the difference between the two. They do a great job of helping him with scheme to get him wide open in attack defenses.
How come it ain't helping nobody else on the Rams?
Well, because
how come nobody else looked like that, Michael Irvin? That is a ridiculous statement on your part.
I'm just telling you the facts of what's happening.
I don't think you are.
That's why I self-indicted by saying I couldn't do it. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I would have said I could get that done, but I can't get it done.
It's part of a scheme also.
I want to hear from Dan, played quarterback position.
I agree with Stephen A., and I see it the same way. I would have said Devontae Adams a month ago. Cooper Kupp, what he has done, to answer your question, and Playmaker knows it, I think he gets open so well because he's got the best feet in football. His feet are ridiculous when it comes to his route running. I think his lower half is crazy strong. Two things, and again, Michael knows this better than anybody. Quarterbacks want two things out of receivers. Get open, and then when I give you the ball, do something with it. I don't think there's anybody doing that more consistently and better at that position than Cooper Kupp. Right. And then be, as a receiver, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there and never fool me as the quarterback. No receiver's doing that better and more consistently than Cooper Kupp. There might be guys that are more talented or physically gifted, but this dude wears defenses out. I mean, where's this touchdown that he had on Eli Apple yesterday? Look at his feet. I mean, Eli Apple starts square-shouldered on him, and within 0.2 seconds, has half of his body gone. And you watch his back foot. His back foot goes backwards behind him. He crosses him up behind him. It's filthy. Look at that. I mean, he's like watching one of the great point guards in the NBA right now.
Right.
Play wide receivers. You see that release? Playmaker, it's gross.
Right. Dan,
so you can always count on him.
His second touchdown was more scheme than on his game. That second touchdown where he came down inside like he's trying to about to block, and Eli comes up, and then they pop up behind him. See, that's what I'm talking about. What are you saying?
But everybody has that scheme. I mean, everybody has receiver, fake, crack, go vertical. Cooper just does it better than everybody, and that's why he's so wide.
Because he blocks more than everybody else.
That's a good point.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, there is no losing here. Cooper Kupp is a bad man. He's one of the best receivers. And I said the same thing Stephen A. said. He's 1 and 1A. There is no losing here.
Yeah, right.
By the way, before we go to commercial break, I won't quote this man because I don't know if he wants to be quoted or not. He is a Hall of Famer. I will go as far as to say he's a Hall of Fame linebacker.
Okay.
These were his words in regards to the whole Aaron Donald, Lawrence Taylor debate. Yeah. Listen up, Playmaker. One difference is LT had more great defensive players playing during his era. And he stood out amongst the rest of us. Aaron Donald does not have as many dominant players playing now in his era. That's why many are favoring
LT.
Hmm.
Did those guys play on the same team?
No.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. All right, I don't think that's the last time we'll see second-year player Joe Burrow in a Super Bowl, who lost a three-point game, no picks, and dealt with a devastating pass rush and a prolific defense overall. He was 22 of 33, 263 yards and a TD. Meanwhile, the Rams' 82% pass rush win rate was the best by any team in any game this year.
We're a young team, so you know, you'd like to think that we're going to be back in this situation, you know, multiple times over the course of the next few years. So, you know, we take this and, you know, let it fuel you for the rest of our careers.
And I bet he will. Irv, I'll start with you. Do you think the Bengals should be the favorites in the AFC next season?
Absolutely, I think they should. They just showed that they are the AFC champs in getting to the Super Bowl. And they went through Patrick Mahomes twice. I know everybody started talking about Buffalo, but right now, the Cincinnati Bengals, they have absolutely everything. And I'm going to tell you something. This man got sacked more than anybody in the National Football League. Dan, the one thing every team says when they come in to play you is we have to get to the quarterback. You got to the quarterback, and he still got to a Super Bowl. That's what's scary about this team. They have that thing that no matter what you do, they are always in a game, and they have that man pulling the trigger that will always get the ball to you. That defense stepped up and played great. They finished the season ranked like 18th in total and 17th in scoring, but they played way, way above that in the playoffs. Absolutely, they should be the team to beat. And they got all those young guys under contract so they can go out and find some offensive linemen and right. put something together to even secure Joe Burrow.
Well, it's bad enough that I want you to talk less on this particular day because your voice is shot because you was partying.
Don't worry about my voice. I'm at the end of the rope here.
You were partying a lot, rubbing it in, texting me about how what a good time you have. I'm going to get you. It ain't my damn fault, but don't trust me. I was held back, and I will not forget this. I will not forget what I was deprived of this weekend. I'm serious. I will not forget this. I've done a lot of things for a lot of people. I can't believe I wasn't there this weekend. I will not forget this. I'm telling y'all that right now. Having said all of that, not only do I want you to lessen, you know, your commentary because of your voice, I just think it's kind of embarrassing that, you know, a novice like myself, who's just a little old reporter growing up in this business, never played the game of football, has to teach football to a 3-time Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer. I can't believe you said what you said. First of all, the Bengals ain't going to be the favorites next year. I got Kansas City. I got Buffalo, okay? I got Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens when mm-hmm. they come back, all right? I'm paying attention to Herbert and the Chargers. I'm certainly not sleeping on the Tennessee Titans because not only do they have Derrick Henry, but they found an additional running backs, okay, with Foreman and Hilliard once Derrick Henry went down. Now, I would prefer that they get somebody other than Ryan Tannehill behind center, but that's just me. Mike Vrabel's a coach of the year for a reason, all right? But let's also look at the Bengals. You brought it up at the tail end of your soliloquy. Their offensive line is trash. We all know that. Yeah. They're horrible. Joe Burrow was sacked 51 times.
Right.
In a regular season. 19 in the postseason. That's 70 times this brother was sacked. Don't even account for the amount of times he was hit. You would think they would have prioritized protecting him considering the knee injury he suffered last year. But they didn't do it. Okay? So as much credit as I want to give Zach Taylor and his staff for the job that they did, the bottom line is you dropped the ball on that one. That's number one. Number two, 8 of their games were within 3 points.
Right.
Very beatable games. Let's not forget that, okay? And they lost some of those. They won some of those. But I'm just saying, they didn't run roughshod over anybody. That's number two. Number three, I got losses here to the Chicago Bears. I got a loss here to the New York Jets. I got a 41-16 drubbing they suffered at the hands of the Cleveland Browns. They got drubbed 41-22 to the Chargers, okay? San Francisco beat them. The Cleveland Browns beat them again. So all I'm saying is when you look at all of these things, they went on a nice run come playoff time. Give them credit where credit is due. But to sit up there and say they should be the favorites coming in the next season, particularly when they've got the troubles that they have with their offensive line, I think it's one of those situations. Do I think they'll be back someday? Yes, because Joe Burrow is their quarterback. But I'm speaking specifically about next season. No, I don't have them as favorites.
Fix the offensive line. You can work on it.
Absolutely be the favorites.
No.
Yes.
Joe Burrow is absolutely the quarterback that you have to go through to get to the Super Bowl. You, like, Stephen A., I understand. We know that they have flaws. Two things that stand out for Cincinnati. Number one, you can fix your offensive line through free agency a little bit when you have cash to spend, and they do, just like the Chargers did this past year. If you go get 3 upgraded pieces at your offensive line, that offense is just going to be better in a third year altogether. Their only free agents that are impactful players on their team right now are like Uzama, their tight end, and Ogunjobi, the defensive tackle. Everybody else is going to come back. This is a really, really good football team. I'll be honest with you. I thought this was going to be a blowout in the Super Bowl yesterday. I expected a 17-point win by the Rams. I was so impressed by the Bengals. Tennessee, what do they do at quarterback? Cleveland, what do they do at quarterback? Buffalo's got a new offensive coordinator. How does that go? New England, they got a new offensive coordinator. How does that go? Mm-hmm. The Chargers, is their defense?
On New England because Matt Patricia, he struggled enough with defense and as a head coach. Why are you going to put him on the offensive side of the ball?
Baltimore
now
got.
I don't understand that.
Get healthy. Right. Is the offense ever going to progress pass game wise where it's a threat? Like, but I could point to any team that's seen to get flawed.
Eight games decided by less than 3 points. Boy, that's a huge plus for a young team. That's a huge plus for a young team. You're getting this kind of experience. Yeah, exactly. But they won enough to get into the Super Bowl. They did, I know they didn't win them all, but they won enough that they were out here with me and you were not. They were out here with me and you were not.
This is my favorite version of Michael Irvin ever. This is my favorite Monday. My goodness.
Raspy Michael, just candidate to Stephen A. It's cool, though. It's cool. It was fun watching it from my bed.